iHeart Podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Know's Parenting.
I'm Peter
McNerney. That's Beth Newell. Definitely not robot replacements. Back again for another week. Our life continues. We are still parents. Brandon and Maven are our children. They are 2 and they are 4. And they're great, except when we want to strangle them, like I did not but an hour ago. Boy, I had a really great day with them, Beth.
Yeah.
MLK Day, holiday, so we were at home. And
I left for the afternoon to try to run some errands and get some work done.
You had a full day off.
Well, I wouldn't say full day, but okay.
Felt like it to me, but but we had a great time here. They played, Brynn and Maven genuinely enjoying each other and playing. And doing puzzles I thought were too complicated for them. Bryn's like, I need your help to do the big llama puzzle. And I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I came out and the puzzle was done. And he was very proud.
I'll say, in spite of some very trying moments, as is the norm, they've been really good considering they've been stuck inside most of the weekend.
So, yeah, today, Arctic blast. It was 5 degrees this morning.
Wind chill, -3.
Nice. And I was great with them all day until bedtime when they were super hyper. And I was like, I've done a great job all day of just, when they're doing something bad, just redirecting their attention. And then being able to talk to them that, like, okay, we don't want to do that. Here's this. Oh, let's look over here. As opposed to the stop. There's zero good in telling Bryn no.
I'm realizing that now as I lay down the law more often is they do, like, I can't get overzealous. You got to pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the whole day is like a battle with two kids that are just nonstop trying to eat snacks all day long on the weekend.
Yeah, he knows that if I'm like, Bryn, raise my voice, he's immediately going to look at me and just keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, he gets like a skittish little deer. He's like, ugh.
And it's just the tone. And so if I just immediately react like I'm on his side, I'm like, ooh, Bryn, you know, we don't want to do this because mom is coming home and she wants this chair to not scrape the floor. Hey, did you have a Rock Lord toy over here? And then it's problems. That was all day. I was redirecting the energy. I was riding the wave until the last minute when he wouldn't lay down. And he's like, I don't want to read a book. And then Maeve was going to cry if I didn't read the book. And Bryn was going to cry if I did read the book. So finally, I was like, I'm just going to turn out the light. But I ended up trying to start reading this book to Maven. And Bryn, in defiance, just starts kicking the wall. And I lost my mind.
If any of our listeners are putting two kids to bed in the same bedroom at the same time and they have any advice, please tell us, because it's just hell every single time.
They
trade off who's being difficult.
It's true. I mean, normally that is the time where I really feel good about bedtime because it's total chaos. But it's constantly like distracting them and keeping them and holding them physically in bed, but not to the point where they scream. And if I hadn't just spent the whole day doing that, I would have had a little more patience. And I just snapped and had to like hold Bryn down because then he started trying to pinch me. And I'm like, ugh. But then I got in bed, read the book to Maven, and Bryn was like, fine, you can read it to her, but I'm not going to listen. And so I start reading Llama Llama to... It's a big llama day, by the way, to Maven. And the whole time, Bryn was jumping up on down on his bed with his fingers in his ears going, I can't hear you because I have fingers in my ears. And I finally, did you hear me scream? I screamed, Bryn! Like loud enough where he got scared and went under his covers. And weirdly,
was mad at me until he went to sleep, but stayed in bed and was quiet. And yelling at him has never worked. And now I'm afraid that I'm going to be tempted to do it a lot.
I had one or two moments like that this week where I raised my voice where I was just so tired. But I feel okay about it because it was brief.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a night of trying to shout him down.
Well, that's the tricky thing about screaming is that if you don't do it, hardly ever, then when you do scream, it is very powerful. But the more you do it, the less power you have.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing we have to briefly bring people up to speed on is what happened regarding the pink pants situation.
The infamous pink stripe.
The blue pants with the one small pink stripe on them that were the subject of a heated debate at daycare.
Goodness.
After Bryn was lightly bullied for having pink on his person and decided he wanted to throw his pants out the front door, and we talked about it on the podcast, the very next morning he woke up and wanted to wear the pants with the pink stripe.
The boy gets over things.
Yeah. And he said, and he asked for them and he said, because I love pink.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just, I think he's enjoying Maven's enjoyment of pink recently.
Well, none of them, or neither of them will allow the other to have a thing that's just theirs.
Yeah.
Because Maven, her entire identity is wrapped up in loving pink, and she won't stop talking about, because I love pink. I love pink. It's my favorite.
She loves pink.
And so Bryn's like, pink's my favorite color. Just like make it less special.
And he like, for her. Now when he's asking for a cup, sometimes there's only like two pink cups here. And he'll just kind of like ask for it because he knows it's like the thing that Maven wants.
What a big brother.
What a big brother. So another thing I want to talk about this week is tonight. The kids have been really getting into wrestling, and I think in a good way where they're finally not actually trying to hurt each other too much. Bryn was being pretty careful with Maven, but he was trying to make it look like she was pushing him off the bed and then he would fling himself down. They were having a lot of fun, and I felt good about it because it felt like they were testing the boundaries in a very safe way.
Yeah.
There's a couple times when Maven like kind of would bump her head and she cried like for a second, but like Bryn wasn't, for the most part, he was not trying to hurt her.
He used to legitimately hurt her way more because he just like didn't know his own strength, and he's actually careful with his sister.
Well, and recently he hurts her on purpose because he gets mad and he hits her, but this was the first time they were like play wrestling, and I feel like they both kind of were just laughing a lot and enjoying it for long stretches of time, and I almost felt like it was better if I left the room, they would just be giggling and I could kind of like trust that they were, for the most part, were not trying to hurt each other. But then if I walked in and they were being watched, it felt like then they like almost got more violent.
Yeah. You know what? I had a good chunk of time today where they just stayed in the other room and I listened to them, and they are actually playing together.
Well, and they were doing it in the bathtub tonight, where they were both in the bathtub and we were down the hall, and you could hear them talking and giggling.
So yeah, we know you're not supposed to leave a 2-year-old unattended in a tub. Stop yelling at us.
She's like nearly three.
and they never stop talking. So if they stop talking, we'd be nervous that we're in there.
Even when she's alone, she like sings most of the time she's in there, or like talks to herself. So I feel good like putting the dishes away, you know, 10 feet away.
She was singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town by herself tonight.
She really can't let that one go. That song is a fave.
That has a real impression on you when you're 2 or 3 or 4. Santa Claus is coming. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out he's naughty or nice.
She also kind of riffs on songs in the other night. I swear she said something that was like, you better not poop. Like she's like.
They could, you know, record an entire poop parody album.
Yeah. Just on their own. But tonight in the bathtub, they were dumping water on each other's heads and splashing each other in the face, and they were both laughing.
Yeah, normally that would be a scream fit.
I know. They were recovering. It was great. That was a moment when I was unloading the dishwasher. I was like, oh my God, it's going to get better.
It's going to get better.
It gets better.
Oh boy. So can I... So today, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day. And we're home alone. And in my mind, I'm like, You know, I'm stuck with two kids. They can't do anything. So, yeah, I can't, you know, there's not much I can do to sort of honor the day. But something did happen that I chose to be my, teach my kids a lesson about, befriending people you, don't understand. So Bryn and Maven were fighting over me. Bryn had two Rock Lords, which are these toys from the 80s that I got when I was little, and they're knockoff crappy Transformers, but they transform into rocks instead of vehicles. And Maven had two My Little Ponies. And Maven goes, play with me, play with me. And she hands me one of the unicorns, and Bryn goes, no, play with me. And she tries to hand me one of the Rock Lords. And they're fighting over, so I go, you know what, I can do both. And so I pick up both of them, and it's a very different kind of play. You know, Bryn wants to be like, we got to go find the bad guys. Let's transform. Let's do a bunch of tasks. Listen to me. And Maven's playing with the unicorns is all like, are you okay? You're look at your hair. Oh, I'm flying. We're friends. I love you. Kiss, kiss. And Bryn's like, no, play with me. And so I suddenly, in this little scene, was like, you know what? My Rock Lord and my unicorn, we want to hang out with this unicorn. Hey, Bryn, his Rock Lord's name was Boulder. Hey, Boulder, come play with us. And he starts going, no, Rock Lords only hang out with other Rock Lords. Rock Lords don't spend time with ponies and unicorns. And I was like, all right, this is my MLK Day lesson for my 2 and 4 year old. And I was like, well, we can all be friends together. No, he said some like jarring things that are like, no, you're different. We're over here. And so I took my Rock Lord and I was like, Boulder, these are my friends and you should not like them just because they're unicorns. We're having a dance party. And he goes, fine, I'm going to go be alone in my rock house. And he stormed off as a Rock Lord. And we go, all right, ponies, we're having a dance party. Then we all start dancing.
It's like real life.
And then Bryn was on the
does to people.
Bryn was on the other side of the couch with his Rock Lord. And his Rock Lord was jealously looking over to our side of the couch as we were having a dance party with two unicorns and a Rock Lord. And then he goes, ring, 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 ring. And I go, oh, sorry, ponies. I think I'm getting a call on my rock phone. Hello? And he goes, hey, Nugget. That's the other Rock Lord's name. Hey, Nugget, it's me, Boulder. Do you want to come to my house? I'm like, sorry, Boulder. I'm having a really fun party with the unicorns. You should come over. He goes, I don't want to come over. I don't hang out with ponies, but I might change my mind and call you back. Okay, bye. And I go, all right. Woo, we dance. And then he goes, ring, ring, ring. He goes, hello? He goes, I changed my mind. I'm coming to the party. Where is it? I'm like, it's over here. He goes, all right, I'll be there. Then he comes over, and then we all became friends. And I was like, I did it.
That's so funny.
I fucking did it.
So into throwing around rules lately that just are just orders for Maven. And he's like, Maven, girls don't get to play with this.
Oh, that's a big thing the last couple of days.
He keeps saying, girls don't do that. Like, and it's just, it's really just what he wants to happen in that moment. But I keep being like, girls do whatever they want.
I did the same thing.
I like it, like, really incenses me. I'm like, no, Bryn. You don't get to tell girls what to do. You're not the boss of girls.
He's like, girls can't be on the footstool. Girls can be on footstools.
And that tonight when he did it, you have never sounded more like your dad because you were like, Bryn, I wouldn't go messing with girls.
I did not say that, did
you
I?
Did. You're like, you don't want to mess with girls.
Bryn, take it from me. Don't tell a woman what she can or cannot do. Yikes. Wow. Well, yeah, you know, there's, boy, our kids are, Bryn is such a boy and Maven is such a girl. And it's like, do you feel disappointed at how much our kids are gender conforming?
I mean, he's also in some ways very not, like, as we've mentioned previously, he doesn't know a single thing about sports.
Oh yeah. Is it time to sign him up for a soccer class or something?
I just said I wasn't bothered by it. I don't want to get up at you know, 8 a.m. on a Saturday and have to run out the door to go to watch four-year-olds try to play soccer.
You don't want to get up at 8 a.m., even though I get up at 7 a.m. to take them to daycare every day?
No, not get up. I mean, like, have to leave the house.
Yeah, I leave the house by 7:15 every day.
I'm talking about on a Saturday. You leave the house at 7:15 on a Saturday? That's something you want to do? You think that's a reasonable thing that I should be saying this about?
I didn't think it through. But okay, let's look ahead to the end of the week, okay? Because what's happening this week, Beth? Why don't you explain to everybody what's happening this week?
I am flying out of here Thursday to go to the Cayman Islands with my friends with no children.
Right. You just told me one day this was going to happen. And
well, that's the only way it was going to happen.
Well, you think if you ask me, I would say no?
I think I don't need to ask you.
It's true. It's true.
I asked you about dates.
You know what? You're right. I'll be totally honest. I'm pretending like this has upset me.
I think you love it because you're just like eyeing the next time that you can skip town.
Oh, yeah. I only ever dare like take time for me if I know that you've done it first. But that's fine. That's great. If I don't want to go on a trip if you're like going to resent me for it.
I will be so much saner for this entire winter, I think, for having taken this, 5 days trip.
I've only jokingly
given
you grief about it. I'm genuinely excited to
tout the benefits of having a vacation as a mom, because without like little breaks, you forget you're a person and you just, it's like just this ongoing grind. And I know a lot of people can't afford to take like lavish Cayman Island vacations like us, but I think like
neither can we, but
yeah. But if you can get like a night away from your kids and stay at a friend's house or anything where you can just be a person who gets to have drinks and not worry about like waking up in the middle of the night or at 7 a.m. with a person breathing in your face, then yeah, that's a good thing for a person's mental health, especially in the dark winter months.
I am very glad that you're going, and I'm looking forward to you coming back and just being so happy to see me. So my mom is going to come while you're away. And you're not going to be here next week when it's recording time. What day do you get back?
Wednesday?
Okay, so yeah. So, of course, you know, we haven't planned what the hell we're going to do for the episode. So either we'll do it over the internet, or I was also thinking maybe I'll just do this episode with my mom.
I think you should. I think she would be great on here.
What do you think? Mom, you're probably finding out about this right now. Listening,
I know,
to this
she's
episode.
Probably listening right now.
She's
laying on a beach listening to this.
She would be a really great at this, but I bet she'd be nervous. She shouldn't. Mom, you shouldn't be. You say everything you're thinking out loud, and that's all you need to do to be on a podcast.
I mean, no one I know would kill it on here like your mom.
And come on, quit resisting. Everybody, if you want Ann McNerney as my special guest on the podcast
next
week,
tweet
at Ann McNerney does not have Twitter at twitter.com.
Tweet at her at facebook.com/ how do I post this? Can everyone see this?
You know what? Just don't. I'll trick her into it. So that'll happen next week unless, of course, something totally different happens. We'll find out.
This next segment is called We Don't Knows. It's where we discuss some of our parenting failures. Peter, you've got something?
I've got one involving physical violence. Bryn. Bryn is hitting, and Bryn is kicking, and Bryn is pinching. I've got little cuts all over my hand. He's a very good boy most of the time, and then he has a big tantrum, and he started hitting. And
This is when it's so hard to control my anger. Oh, I think the same is for you.
So hard not to be emotional.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm supposed to do. Well, here's the big issue is like, is I should be able to just put him in his room and then like close the door and let him calm down. But if I do that, the way he acts out is by kicking and stomping, and then our neighbors get really enraged. And so I can't let him just blow off steam. I have to go in there and say, no stomping. And then he comes at me and he starts swinging. And I was like, I just need to leave. That's the best way to show him this is not acceptable is the second he takes like a swing, is he goes in his room, you shut the door until he's calm. But I can't leave him alone. And so it's this terrible cycle where I go in and like the only option I end up having is I need to like lay him down on the bed and like try to like hold his hands and his legs without hurting him. And I need to like hold him until he calms down. And of course, like then he goes crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, you know, just go like, we don't hit and I stay calm because I do not want him to react to like, as if this is me focusing like a physical dominance over him, like there's any emotion attached to it. And so I try to just hold him and stay calm. And I recently, a listener wrote in and, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't write down your name. But she recommended 1-2-3 Magic, which is a parenting style type of book. And I just skimmed a little bit of it, so I can't endorse it or not. But the beginning of it has some really simple ideas. I realized this is 100% applicable to us. And to generalize, basically it's like at that age, you should never explain yourself more than once. You know, you can say, like, you can't do this because this is dangerous. And if they try to argue it and you re-explain it, you're not achieving anything. You're just falling into the trap of that you paying attention to them. So the main philosophy is when they're doing something you don't want them to do, less talking and hide all negative emotions. Because we talked about this before, like those negative emotions and that over-explaining is a victory for them because they have your full attention, and part of that actually feels good. So it is this
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're arguing? Great, I've got some arguments.
Yeah, they're asserting their power. But if you take that away from them, which is just the, like, and then ultimately, 1-2-3 Magic is basically like counting to three.
I really hope 1-2-3 Magic has a chapter on physically restraining your son in sort of a chokehold for 20
minutes. I haven't got to that chapter yet. But I've really been trying to exercise that, like, I don't explain myself more than once. And when he gets really heated, I barely look at him, you know. And so I tried to do this. We went out to Rye Playland. Do you want to tell us about that trip?
Yeah. So this was when we knew the big storm was coming. So we're like, let's get out of the house. We tried to do a nature walk, which our kids sucked at.
They're just
not good at, like, I think part of it is just winter. Maybe there's less to see. I don't know. But they're, like, not interested in exploring their outdoor surroundings very well. And they, like, won't continue walking. They're like,
well, Maven was, and then you were like, get back on the path.
Well, no, because you guys were just, like, wandering around, and I'm severely allergic to poison ivy, and I could see it on the trees surrounding us, and I just could very easily picture either one of you just wandering over and leaning your hand up against a big rope of poison ivy.
Well, I was impressed by that because I realized that I even attempted to identify poison ivy when the leaves are dead.
Well, I have because I've gotten very bad poison ivy in the middle of winter, unfortunately. So, anyway, I'm very sensitive in a cool, interesting allergic reaction kind of way.
Cool, interesting. But what I was saying, like, weak immune system sort of way.
No, I have a strong immune system. It's overactive.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So anyway, I'm cool. They won't just take a walk. So that was frustrating because I like that nature preserve, and I want to cover some ground. Yeah. And I think if we had gotten a little farther, you know, they might have seen like a deer or something, but they're too loud. Anyway, I should just go on nature walks alone, which is the ideal way to do it anyway.
That's your New Year's resolution, alone nature walks, right?
Yeah, that is one of my New Year's resolutions. All get right. out in nature. And anyway, so we ended that pretty quickly because Bryn was just trying to turn around. It'd be difficult. And then we're like, okay, it's like getting kind of late. We can go get some brunch because they're going to get hungry soon. And I find a place that's sort of like a step up from our regular diner fare.
It's like 14 steps up. That place was effing incredible.
It was great. It was really quality over quantity, which that's Oof, the thing that's yes. really rubbing me wrong about the diners around here is just like
the mountain of like, food.
Well, it's a mountain of food, but it's also just like so boring and bland and like not like it just feels like you're shoveling like cardboard into your mouth at a certain point.
It's a total generic diner. Yeah, this place was not.
The diners around here are just a little bit lacking in my opinion. Sure. I've been to plenty of good diners.
Sure.
So anyway, this place was like a step up and the food was great and our kids actually were really good.
Well, because the tablecloth was all paper and they got crayons that they could draw on the whole table.
Yeah, and this was novel to them and they liked it better than our usual diner, which has just those little mats with drawings already on them, like a coloring book thing.
Yeah. Like our kids can't handle a blank page.
They love a blank page. So I actually think they were amazingly good during that meal compared to like any other meal we've had with them.
Well, I did have to take Bryn outside before the check came.
Yeah, but that was like we were waiting a while for the check and I was eyeing the guy. Like that was not our kid's fault.
So then we went over to Rye Playland, which was across the street.
And
it was pretty good. We were wandering around. This is great.
Yeah, and this is, I don't again, remember what happened. It's a beautiful boardwalk in along the beach and our kids just want to hang out in like basically a parking lot corner and like it's fine, there's like a wheelchair ramp and they're running around and stuff, but it was just like, why do we have to hang out in this ugly little
like these kids aesthetic sensibilities are a shambles. Anyway, we were fine, everything was fine, and then we're like, time to go to the car. And I guess he didn't want to go to the car and you had to carry him. And then I tried to put him in the car and put his seatbelt on, and he went full, I'm not putting this seatbelt on.
Yeah.
So I like nuts. Gave it some time, and I was like, we got to do this seatbelt. And then I was doing my 1-2-3 magic if I only explain it once. And then I just started talking to you, and I changed the subject. And finally, I was like, okay, we got to go. And I was like, all right, I just got to force it. And I put him in the chair, and he screamed, and he took it off the seatbelt. So I had to sit in the back.
Oh, and then when I was backing out, I was driving like a few feet out and he opened the door and that's what set you off.
Oh, yeah. He opened the car door while we were driving.
And that is something that I think warrants a yell.
Yeah. I gave him a yell. I wanted to scare him about that and I had to sit in the back seat and then he was trying to hit me. Yeah. And so as we were driving, I pull his hands and he can hurt you. So I pulled his jacket sleeves out so that his hands were inside his jacket sleeve. And then I basically like held the ends of his jacket sleeve so he was like handcuffed in there. And I could squeeze it tight and I wasn't hurting his hands or anything. And I was like, this is great. He can struggle. It's like a straight jacket and no one's getting hurt. And then he's trying to bite me. And we get home and he's still screaming and you go inside. So I'm like, I'm going to sit out here and I'm going to just ignore it and be calm. And it was a nightmare. It was terrible. And I had evil thoughts and I wanted to fight back with a 4-year-old. Obviously, I didn't. And I just did that. But I finally wore him out. And just the point where then he got tired and he was like, hey, is that a turkey? And like saw a bird outside. I'm like, no, that's not a turkey. And he goes, oh, looks like a turkey. And it's just like fine. And it feels like, it feels manipulative. Like
you feel like he's manipulating you?
Yeah, because he's like acting like nothing happened. Like we didn't just spend an hour trying to cut
but
me.
You're the one who's always saying that that's what's great about boys is that you guys don't hold on to stuff.
You're right. I got over it 2 seconds later. I was like, oh, my son's great.
I mean, I don't know. Did you get over it 2 seconds later?
Yes, I did. I did.
You don't necessarily seem over it right now, but
I really
I mean, that's because it just happened again in bed. You know why actually I am like annoyed at him right now?
Why?
Because he calmed down and he went to sleep. And then I went over there to like give him a kiss. And I put him a hand on his head. I was like, good night, buddy. And he was still mad. And he goes, no. And that's rare because he was like holding a grudge. And so I walked out of there being angry with him. And the...
You're mad that he went to bed angry at you?
Yes. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a etching in my mom's bathroom.
Yeah.
I subscribe to that.
I mean, sure.
You do not subscribe to that. You let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Because no amount of you like shouting at me or arguing with me is going to make a situation resolve at like 12 p.m.
I mean, we don't need to get into how our conflict resolution skills couldn't be any more different.
But I think this is a common male-female thing where I'm like, I want to believe that you understand why I was mad in the first place and you have concrete plans to do differently in the future. It's not, but in your mind, you're thinking, she just needs to back down and get over this and forgive me.
Well, you are not typical of any gender
That's
or human
not
being.
Not true. That is so not true.
Because I'll like go away for an hour and come back and think about it and then be like, hey, you're right. Here's what I did wrong and here's what I'm going to do to change that. Now, please just tell me it's okay and then you love me. And you're like, I need to let the sun go down upon my wrath.
No, because you...
I gotta say,
you're not telling the part of the story where you keep ignoring what I'm trying to tell you I'm mad about, and then you don't want to take responsibility for it, and you keep brushing it off, and then you're like, hey, can you just not be mad?
Both of these things we're talking about, we're both much better at not doing the thing that we're accusing the other person of doing right now. So let's end this by saying, nice improvement. Will you just tell me that's okay and then you love me, though?
After you just told me no one thinks like me in this regard.
And that is We Don't Knows.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we take hypothetical situations from you, our listeners, and discuss what we would do.
All right. This one comes to us from... I was going to say a friend of mine, but I've actually never met this person, but he is married to
He's
a friend
our friend
of mine.
Now.
So a little context on this. So this listener wrote in, his name is Ryan, and his wife is Jacqueline West, who is a New York Times bestselling author.
Does he want you to share this information?
Well, he wrote it in the email.
Okay.
Sorry. Awesome. Sorry, Ryan.
Congratulations, Jacqueline.
You didn't say. So the Story Pirates... If you're unfamiliar with the Story Pirates, that's my full-time job. Just go check it out. The new Story Pirates podcast season is launching January 31st. The Story Pirates also have been releasing a series of books. Kids have submitted a synopsis for a story, and then we get a famous author to write a full novelization of that kid's idea, and it's very cool. Stuck in the Stone Age came out last year by Jeff Rodkey. And this year, Jacqueline, our brand new book, Digging Up Danger, written by Jacqueline West, based on an idea by a wonderfully funny kid named Phoebe, came out last week. Anyway, so that's Jacqueline. I've been on book tours with her. Story Pirates got hired to create these book tours to go out with real authors. And so I have spent several weeks all over the country with Jacqueline West, and she is a wonderful talent and human being. Anyway, that's the context. Jacqueline did not write this email. Hello, Beth and Peter. First, thank you for your work on this podcast. It's a blast and helps remind me and my wife that we are not alone. Wife in question is the one Jacqueline West. We and our 3-year-old son listen to your podcast each morning at the breakfast table. Our efforts...
Every morning?
You either don't get through a whole episode, you're a liar, or you repeat episodes.
Okay, in chunks. I could see it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he means every episode is available. Every morning it's available. This is important to know, Ryan. Will you write in to let us know how often you actually
listen? I just want to know if he's listening to our episodes on repeat after he's listened to them already.
Hey, Siri, play We Knows on repeat. Oh, Siri actually listened to me while I did that.
Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot I have a HomePod at Herbie. Hey, Siri, stop.
I have a question unrelated to anything. Do we have to say Hey, Siri now instead of just Siri?
Yes.
It's always been annoying.
It's always been that way.
I'm going to keep talking about this, even though it's irrelevant to the segment we're trying to record. I got your old phone, the 10S or whatever.
The 10.
I don't know how to use it, and it doesn't have the home button, so I'm totally thrown. And so my whole day is just me being like, hey, Siri. Hey, Siri.
Where are you? Where am I? Oh.
She just said here.
She's answering.
Anyway, so he has a hypothetical would you knows.
Yes, listener. But I'm going to keep reading this. Our three-year-old, we listen. Our efforts at censoring your occasional F-bombs have been futile. Sorry, we really assume no children were listening. But so he hasn't repeated any of the worst of your occasional curses. He's very keen on meeting your kids, as they are, outside his Montessori classmates, the kids he knows the most about in the world. Show me Maven. Show me Bryn. What are they doing? Our common shouts from our little guy. He is in his terrible three-nager stage, and hearing about your struggles with your two help us deal and provide us with much-needed Schadenfreude. One of my favorite words. The joy of others' failures.
I know what it means.
I was telling all of our listeners who also know. That's right. Sometimes we're laughing at you. I appreciate that. I thought you two could use a break from your own time travel in would you know scenarios. So I came up with a hypothetical for you that also involves time travel. Two scruffy looking, think hobo-esque characters approach you, claiming to be Bryn and Maven from the future. They're able to answer a few questions that lead you to believe that they are telling the truth. They then claim that the two of you must move to Siberia immediately and permanently, or utter disaster will befall you and the world. They then disappear in a puff of blue, sparkling smoke. What do you do? Love, Ryan and Jacqueline.
Wow. I mean, blue sparkling smoke kind of seals the deal. I like...
Once again, writers have to write in for your benefit that there's no use questioning whether this is true. You believe them. I know that's hard for you.
No, but that's the whole question is, do I believe that that's really them?
The scenario dictates that you do believe that it's true.
But they're asking, the question is, do I believe and do I move to Siberia?
I don't think it's if you believe, it's do you actually follow through with it?
No, but I mean, do I follow through because do I believe this is really my two children from the future?
I think it makes it clear that you do believe it. The question is, do you listen to them? Do you basically ruin your whole life?
You guys can't keep sending us these because we can't even agree on what the question is.
Don't make me read it again. Oh, God. It said, okay. After a few questions, you believe them.
Okay. I mean, if I believe them, I believe them. I have to move to Siberia, right?
Well, our lives,
I mean,
won't be ruined, but our kids and the rest of the world are.
Right. I guess I gotta go for their future, although part of me really... I hate New York winter so much that the idea of moving to Siberia is like a death unto itself. So part of me is like, well, maybe I should just move to the equator and enjoy my last few months of life.
I will say, I wouldn't be happy living not in Siberia, but with you in Siberia.
I should just send you and the kids and I'd be like, sorry, kids. Mommy is gone forever.
Mommy's going to be in the Cayman Islands with her friends.
Mommy's going to the Cayman Islands with her friends to die.
Well, we don't know how long it'll be, you know, so that's what we need to weigh. I gotta say, this is a real analogy for global warming. I feel like there's a lot of older people that are like, oh, it's fine. Because I mean, it's not going to affect my life.
But then that means the analogy for global warming is that we have to just flee. We can't try to prevent it or slow it in any way.
It's not a perfect analogy. I'll tell you what I would do. Okay. Step one, I would Google Siberia. And I'd be like, you know what? I don't know. What's the biggest city in Siberia? Maybe there's some cool spots.
Are there cities? Like, I don't...
It's a big place, Siberia.
I don't know anything about it.
Sure, there's cities.
It's like... But when you see it represented in media, it's like a desert wasteland of cold tundra.
Well, I feel like every time Siberia is referenced, it's in the context of like 19th century Siberia.
No, I think it's still like that. It's so cold up there.
Sure, but that doesn't mean there's no civilization up there.
There's little civilization.
Well, it's like
Alaska. Like, Alaska doesn't have like a ton of people. Like the
Alaska has a ton of people.
No, but like
compared to
as a whole, like foot by foot, it does not have a lot of people.
Sure, but Anchorage is a city. I've been there. It's cool.
I feel like living in Anchorage is warmer than Siberia in my mind.
That is true. Anything near the coast is far warmer than... That's why Siberia is the worst, because it's so far away from the ocean, so that's where it gets the coldest. It's more like northern Canada.
We don't know, listeners. We don't know what we're in for, and we would Google it, and we would try to find out.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay, well, let's try the HomePod. Hey, Siri, are there cities in Siberia?
She can't get the answer.
Okay. So, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Siri doesn't know. Nobody
There's
knows.
No way of knowing. But here's the thing. If it was any other remote area that this person had named, I'd be like, cool, done. I'm gone. I don't need to be part of civilization. Love it. I'll hide in a hut. But the fact that it's so cold, I cannot handle.
But climate change will make it, you know, pretty reasonable. You know, today was the same temperature here as it was.
You're assuming
Anchorage,
that
Alaska.
The disaster that our children are foretelling as their future hobo selves is related to global warming?
Well, I mean, I can't, because it only happens if we don't move to Siberia. So there's some bizarre butterfly effect that we are the cause
if
of.
If we move to Siberia, it saves everyone?
Yeah.
I thought this was just us.
No, it says save them and the world.
Hmm. Okay, I guess we gotta save the world. I'm gonna be cold all the time.
I can't swear because their son is listening.
We do need this person to write back in and say, if Peter was to take the kids alone and I was to go to the Cayman Islands, would the world still be saved?
No, you're not weaseling your way out of this. We don't know. That's all the information we got.
We're gonna need a little more info on
from
this
from our
one.
Hobo-esque children. That's what happened. We stayed home and they turned into a post-apocalyptic hobos. Did that answer your question? We don't know.
This next segment is called Listeners Want a Nose, where we answer some of your questions.
Oh, they want a nose. They want a nose. This person is, they don't want to know anything. They're actually giving us a suggestion, some advice. And I'm curious. So this involves body parts. Well, I'll just read it and then I have something to share. Hi, Peter and Beth. I've been listening and laughing since Guy Branum, your podcast on Pop Rocket mentioned, I think it's a word missing, mentioned your podcast on Pop Rocket. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter and have to thank you both for the weekly dose of relatable frustration and joy. You guys do a great job. I'm writing after listening to the anatomical discussion of butts, wieners, nipples, and giant butts, a.k.a. vaginas. This was a while back when Bryn claimed that girls only have butts. They just have one big butt. no wieners.
I will say briefly, the tonight when they were taking their bath and they were throwing water at each other, they would do this thing where they would turn around and stick out their butt, and then the other one would throw water at their butt, and then they would laugh. So it was a lot of Maven just like sticking her butt in Brynn's face.
They love butts. I'd like to promote the idea of teaching your kids to say vulva instead of vagina for several reasons. Reason A, it's anatomically correct. The vagina is the inside part. The vulva is the whole thing. B, it's way easier for a kid to pronounce. My daughter loves pointing to it and identifying it, and I hope this will give her a sense of ownership and confidence. Words are powerful. C, if they know the difference, you can have a better conversation about which part itches/hurts, etc., should the need arise. Thanks for sharing your lives with us. Cheers, Laurel. P.S. My daughter also asks to see nipples, but so far, just family and friends. That's great. What are your thoughts on this?
Interesting. I appreciate what she's saying about understanding anatomically, like what hurts or itches. But I still am really on the fence on this because it's like one of those things where I'm like, the thing that's like technically correct sometimes is also the thing that makes your kid like a weirdo who like can't communicate with other people.
Teacher, I'm having an issue with my vulva.
Like, well, just other kids, like, and just, I don't know. I can't predict how this will play out over time, but.
Well, here's the thing I've realized is like, I haven't. Because Brynn and I have, we've talked about his wiener whenever the need arises. And that's the language we use. And there's something like weird, safer thing about giving your genitals like a cute nickname instead of being like, is your penis okay? Be like, all right, grab your wiener there and go to the bathroom. But I don't have that with Maven because I grew up with three brothers.
No, but no one has that because no one ever thought to give women any nice names at all. Like, if you think of any word associated with women, it's not fun or good. Like, the word mom, if you, like, your immediate connotation of a mom is, like, a lame person. Like, everyone thinks that when they hear the word mom. And if you say dad, people are like, oh, like a dad. Like, it doesn't, like, so it's... There's just like no.
There was no like cute name for vagina growing up.
I mean, I feel like in my family we'd say like privates. I'm sure people have good ones. We just need to know it.
I started saying with Maven hoo ha as like a joke.
Hoo ha's fun.
And I was like, all right, we need to wipe your hoo-ha.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, like, I would rather have a name like that and then also later teach her the difference between vagina and vulva and have her know all the words. But yeah. I don't want to, like, lock her into just vulva. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I have started saying vagina, but then I suddenly feel like a weird, weird, lame dad or a doctor. I'm like,
Well...
I love some of the...
But it's like a, you know, it's a Madonna whore complex. Like, we have... I'm not going to say them because our listener just indicated that his kids listen to this, but we have some slang terms for vagina that are maybe fun, but they're not something you would feel comfortable saying to a child because they're very sexualized. So, like, everything related to women, we either make it, like, very boring and old and, like, gross, or we make it seem, like, very sexualized, like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's that. When I think of women, I think, ooh, boy, boring and sexy. Well, let's make up a word. What is it? What should we call it? Wawa.
There's nothing I could say, like, that people are not, like, immediately going to be grossed out.
Your tchotchke. A hoo-ha. Hoo-ha's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty safe.
Hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. How's your hoo-ha? Okay?
It just, for some reason, it reminds me of the story. Have we told your childhood hubba-hubba story on the podcast?
I'll tell it right now.
I feel like maybe we've told it before.
No, we have not.
Okay, so when Peter was in elementary school, they would do, like, what was it, daily, like, for a week. You tell the story.
Okay, so in second grade, Mr. Ryan's class, we were learning about the pilgrims. And so we each learned, we learned about the Mayflower. And we each learned about a real person who was on the Mayflower. We had to do research. And then the next week, we had to show up to class every single day dressed as that person. I might be mixing it up. Or maybe we did this over the full amount of time it took for the Mayflower to get across the ocean. But at certain points during the day, like events that we knew actually happened on the Mayflower, we would reenact. So at one point, like in the middle of math, the teacher just started flickering all the lights and was like, the storm, it's the giant storm. And so my character, who was a real person, he had a wife who gave birth to a baby on the Mayflower, who was named Oceana, the baby. And the baby was born during the storm.
I have to say, it's a great name.
Oceana, yeah. So during this, like, Mr. Ryan starts flipping the lights, and we're like, this is the storm. This happened. We did our research. And so we all of, like, the boys start climbing on the desks to fix the main beam, which we knew cracked, and it was a big deal. And all the girls went to help this girl give birth to a baby. And there was a girl in my class who was assigned as, like, the character that was my wife. And so she brought a fake baby and was pretending to be pregnant for I don't know how many days. And then during the storm, she, like, pretends to give birth. And I don't watch any of this because I'm fixing the beam so the ship doesn't sink. And then suddenly we save it and the lights go down. And then I'm like, I fall on the ground because I'm pretending to be dramatic. And then suddenly I hear my teacher go, like, Mr. Johnson or whatever his name was, look, your wife. And I look up and there's my fellow second grader / wife holding a plastic baby doll, my baby that she just mimed giving birth to. And I look up and he goes, look, and everyone is looking at me and I'm on the ground and I look up at my new wife and baby. And in that moment, I choose to say, hubba, hubba.
It's so cinematic.
I got to say, I got a really good laugh.
Yeah. It's so funny, like, imagining all those kids laughing, having no idea what that means.
But it's like, clearly I had some association with, like, some movie.
Sex and babies.
Yeah, just like somebody looking at a woman and going, hubba, hubba. And it's like, oh yeah, like sex and babies and girls in general are all just, that's all one category.
But really, if you think about it, when women have babies, we should be saying hubba, hubba, because it's like, so impressive.
Check out that placenta. Hubba, hubba. So I've always been a real sensitive feminist boy.
Sensitive.
Yeah. That's my baby. Let's go to the new world. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. Please, if you like this show, prove it. Leave us a review and a rating on the Apple Podcasts. It really helps.
And subscribe.
And subscribe, baby.
You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at We Knows Pod. And you can find us on our website at weknowsparenting.com. If you want to submit a question, share a story, or give some advice, or share a hypothetical for the Would You Know segment, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 347-384-7396. Someone please leave a voicemail or we're going to have to stop mentioning that option.
We're real close. Also, on a point, I remind you, you can pick up Story Pirates' brand new book by our the one and only Jacqueline West, Digging Up Danger, wherever you get books. Also, the Story Pirates podcast returns. New season, January 31st. If you have kids and you don't listen yet, you're a fool. I'm so sorry I called you that name, but check it out. And have yourselves a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Bye.